Hello and welcome. I'm your GCSE physics tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and frequently misunderstood topics in the AQA specification, static electricity. That's section 4.2.5 if you're following along at home. Now, I know what you might be thinking, static electricity, that's just the thing that makes your hair stand up when you pull off a jumper, right? Well, yes, but it's also the science behind lightning bolts, dangerous fuel explosions, and the electric fields that examiners absolutely love to test you on. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly how static charge builds up, how electric fields work, and, if you're sitting the higher tier, how sparking and ionization earn you those precious extra marks. We'll also go through the most common mistakes candidates make, and I'll give you a quick-fire quiz at the end to test your recall. So let's get into it. Let's start with the absolute foundation. What is static electricity, and how does it build up? Everything around you is made of atoms. Inside every atom, you have a nucleus containing protons, which are positively charged, and neutrons, which have no charge. Orbiting that nucleus are electrons, which are negatively charged. In a neutral atom, the number of protons equals the number of electrons, so the charges cancel out, and the overall charge is zero. Now, here is the single most important fact in this entire topic, and I want you to really lock this in. When two insulating materials are rubbed together, electrons, and only electrons, can be transferred between them. Protons are locked inside the nucleus and they do not move. I cannot stress this enough. If you write protons are transferred or positive charges move in your exam, the examiner will reject that answer immediately. It is one of the most penalized errors at GCSE level. So what actually happens? When you rub a balloon on your hair or a glass rod with a silk cloth, friction causes electrons to transfer from one material to the other. The material that loses electrons ends up with more protons than electrons, so it becomes positively charged. The material that gains electrons ends up with more electrons than protons, so it becomes negatively charged. And crucially, the total amount of charge is conserved. It hasn't been created, just redistributed. Now, why does this only work with insulators? Great question. In a conductor, like a metal, electrons can flow freely through the material. So if you tried to build up a charge on a metal rod, the electrons would just redistribute themselves or flow away to Earth. Insulators, on the other hand, don't allow electrons to flow, so once charge builds up on the surface, it stays there. That's why we call it static electricity. The charge is static, it's not moving. Right, so now we have two charged objects. What happens next? This is where electric fields come in. Every charged object creates an electric field in the space around it. An electric field is a region where a charged object experiences a non-contact force. Notice that phrase, non-contact force. Examiners specifically reward candidates who use this terminology. The objects don't need to touch for the force to act. The rule for forces between charges is simple and elegant. Like charges repel, opposite charges attract. Two positively charged balloons will push each other away. A positively charged rod and a negatively charged cloth will pull towards each other. Now, how do we represent electric fields? We use electric field lines, and there are very strict rules about drawing them correctly, and this comes up in the exam regularly. Field lines show the direction of the force that a positive test charge would experience if placed in the field. So for a single positive charge, the field lines point outward, away from the positive charge, in all directions, like a hedgehog. For a single negative charge, the field lines point inward, towards the negative charge. Remember, arrows always go from positive to negative. The density of the field lines, how close together they are, tells you about the strength of the field. Where lines are close together, the field is strong. Where they're spread out, the field is weaker. Near the surface of a charged object, the lines are densest, so the field is strongest there. There are two critical drawing rules that candidates lose marks on every year. First, field lines must never cross. If two lines cross, it would imply a charge in that spot experiences a force in two different directions simultaneously, which is physically impossible. Second, field lines must be perpendicular at right angles to the surface of the charged object. If you draw lines going diagonally into a flat surface, that's wrong. Now, let's talk about the higher tier content, sparking and ionization. This is where the real marks are for those of you aiming for grades 7, 8, or 9. When charge builds up on an object, a potential difference develops between that object and its surroundings. Potential difference is essentially the electrical pressure that drives charge to move. As more charge accumulates, the potential difference increases, and this creates a stronger and stronger electric field in the air around the object. Now, air is normally an insulator. It doesn't conduct electricity. But here's the key. If the electric field becomes strong enough, something remarkable happens. The field exerts such a large force on the electrons within the air molecules that it actually rips those electrons away from their atoms. This process is called ionization. The air molecules become ions, charged particles, and the air temporarily becomes a conductor. When the air becomes conducting, charge can flow through it rapidly. This rapid flow of charge is what we see as a spark, or on a much larger scale, as lightning. The bright flash is caused by the energy released as electrons recombine with ions and emit light. So to summarize the sparking sequence for your exam, high potential difference creates a strong electric field, which ionizes air molecules by removing electrons from them, which makes the air temporarily conducting, which allows charge to flow rapidly, producing a spark. This is why sparks are dangerous around fuel. The spark can ignite flammable vapors. It's also why aircraft are earthed when refueling, and why surgeons must be careful about static discharge in operating theaters. Right, let's talk exam technique. I'm going to go through the most important tips and the mistakes that cost candidates marks every single year. Tip number one, always say electrons, never protons. In any question about charging by friction, the word electrons must appear in your answer. The word protons should never appear in the context of charge transfer. Even if you get everything else right, writing protons move will cost you a mark. Tip number two, use the phrase non-contact force when describing attraction or repulsion between charged objects. Examiners are specifically instructed to award a mark for this phrase in many mark schemes. Tip number three, when drawing electric field lines, use a ruler. Lines must be straight where appropriate, must have arrowheads, must not cross, and must meet surfaces at right angles. Spend an extra 30 seconds drawing this carefully. It's worth it. Tip number four, for explain questions, always use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, the balloon is attracted to the wall because the charged balloon induces an opposite charge on the surface of the wall and opposite charges attract. That chain of reasoning is what earns marks in a 4 or 5 mark question. Tip number five, specifically for higher tier. When explaining sparking, you must explicitly mention ionization of air molecules. Simply saying the air conducts is not enough. You need to explain that the strong electric field removes electrons from air molecules, making them ions, which then allows the air to conduct. That mechanistic explanation is what separates a grade 6 answer from a grade 8 answer. Common mistake number one, candidates say that static charge builds up on conductors. In simple context at GCSE, static charge builds up on insulators. Conductors allow charge to flow away. Common mistake number two, confusing the direction of electric field lines. Remember, arrows point away from positive charges and towards negative charges, from plus to minus. A helpful way to remember, positive is proud and pushes things away. Negative is needy and pulls things in. Common mistake number three, forgetting units. Electric field strength is measured in newtons per coulomb. Potential difference is measured in volts. Charge is measured in coulombs. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask a question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what type of charge do electrons carry? Negative charge? Correct. Question two, when a plastic rod is rubbed with a cloth, which way do electrons transfer? From the cloth to the plastic rod, so the rod becomes negatively charged. Question three, in which direction do electric field lines point around a positive charge? Outward, away from the positive charge. Question four, what must field lines never do? They must never cross each other. Question five, higher tier. What process occurs when a strong electric field strips electrons from air molecules? Ionization. Question six, what is the name for the region around a charged object where a force is experienced? An electric field. How did you do? If you got all six, you are in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread those sections of your notes. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. 1. Static electricity is caused by the transfer of electrons, never protons, between insulating materials during friction. 2. The material losing electrons becomes positively charged. The material gaining electrons becomes negatively charged. 3. Like charges repel, opposite charges attract. These are non-contact forces acting through electric fields. 4. Electric field lines point from positive to negative, never cross, and must be perpendicular to surfaces. 5. The density of field lines indicates field strength. Closer lines mean a stronger field. 6. For higher tier. A high potential difference creates a strong electric field which ionizes air molecules, making the air temporarily conducting and producing a spark. That's everything you need for AQA GCSE Physics 4.2.5. Remember, the exam rewards precision and the correct use of scientific language. Practice writing full explanations using because to link your ideas, and always double check your field line diagrams. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this!